Am I on? Is it working? Yeah. Am I coming over loud and clear? So, as Mark said, that I'm going to be talking about Joseph this morning. So, when I think it was Louise who sent the email around originally, and she was saying, "Oh, does anybody want to speak?" And I was thinking, "Oh, I'd love to speak on Joseph. I just love the story. I've never seen Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat or the cartoon. So I've never seen them." But I just love the story of Joseph. And little did I know that when I said yes to speak, I actually worked it out. It's a quarter of Genesis. So so there's quite a lot to cover. And so, this will be kind of a whistle-stop overview and some of my thoughts on Genesis. And I definitely won't have time to cover everything. So I encourage you to, if you haven't already, have a read and just ask Holy Spirit what he wants to speak through the story of Joseph to you as well. So with so much of Genesis being taken up by Joseph, I was thinking and asking God, like, well, why is this man so important? Why spend so long in the book of Genesis talking about Joseph? So I'm going to zoom out a little bit before I zoom in and kind of look more at the life of Joseph. So although it's not 100% certain, I think it's widely believed that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And in that mind, it's kind of the story of beginnings. It means beginnings. And if Moses was the one who wrote the book of Genesis, and with that in mind, him writing for the Israelites coming out of Egypt, you know, the Israelites were slaves, they were captive in Egypt, and these were slaves coming out, this nation coming out of Egypt, and Moses was writing them who they are, where did they come from? And if you think about it, actually, Joseph is the story of how they ended up in Egypt in the first place. And sometimes when we're going through things, it's quite good to go back to the beginning of, well, how did we get here? Was God in this situation? Did God bring us into this situation in the first place? Did he give us any promises? Are we going to get out? So, with that in mind, I think Moses, you know, God was working through him thinking, this is how the people of Israel ended up in Egypt in the first place. So I think it's interesting as well how Joseph, a Hebrew, he was sent ahead into Egypt and raised as an Egyptian, pretty much, to eventually, for the nation of Egypt, for the nation of Israel to come into Egypt. And then Moses, a Hebrew, he was sent ahead, if you like, as well, into an Egyptian home. Pharaoh's daughter took him in, he was raised as an Egyptian, to then lead the Israelites out of Egypt. So I just thought it was quite a good parallel of, you know, God sending somebody to Egypt in advance to actually keep leading the people of Israel. And, you know, there is some other parallels with the story of Joseph and the Israelites coming out of slavery. And for us too, we might think actually there's some similarities in our own lives. You know, for example, God saying one thing and then something completely different happening. So for Joseph, Joseph has dreams of being a ruler. He had a dream of his brothers bowing down to him. He had another dream of his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. And then before long, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And you think that is the complete opposite to what God has just told him. And even for the Israelites coming out of Egypt, how many times did Pharaoh say, your people can go? No, they can't go. Your people can go? No, they can't go. And, you know, Mark mentioned this morning, well, Brexit. Are we leaving? Are we not leaving? But I'm not going to talk about Brexit. So maybe even in our own lives, you know, have we had on our heart to pray for something and then we start praying and something completely different starts to happen, or the situation gets worse, or we just really feel God's spoken to us about something and actually it's not really working out how we thought God was going to say it was going to work out. For Joseph and the Israelites, and for us, there can be long periods of waiting, both the Israelites and Joseph, and for some of us, we can be waiting years for the promises of God to come about. There would definitely be unanswered questions, definitely, I'm sure, times of doubt, thinking, did I hear God right? Did I hear him speak? Times of testing and going around in circles and thinking, am I getting anywhere? And definitely times, especially in Joseph's life, of thinking, this is just not fair. One of the accounts on Joseph was when he actually resisted Potiphar's wife's temptations to go to bed with her. And he was good. He was saying no, he resisted her, and he still got sent to prison. So for Joseph and for others, we can think, we've done what God wanted us to do. We did the right thing, but it hasn't worked out how we thought. So yeah, you might be able to relate to some of these things. So I think looking back as to why Joseph is playing such a big part in the book of Genesis and thinking about, you know, Joshua and the Israelites meditating on the book of the law at the time, I think it would be a great encouragement to see how actually God is faithful to Joseph. Joseph faced different situations which weren't all that good, but God was faithful and God prospered Joseph and God blessed him. So as I said, Joshua would be one who, after Moses, was leading the people out and leading the people into the promised land. And Genesis is the first book of the five books of the Bible, which is called, is it the Pentateuch? Did I say that? So in the first chapter of Joshua, we see God is encouraging Joshua, you know, meditate on the law that I gave to Moses, meditate on my word. So God is saying, study these books. So Genesis, the story of Joseph, is one of these books. God is saying, get into my word, see what I'm saying. And God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. He said, don't be afraid or discouraged, because I am with you. And one thing that you hear time and time again in the story of Joseph is God was with him. In prison, God was with him. As a slave, God was with him. And because God was with him, Joseph still prospered. Joseph was still blessed. So I think for Joshua to hear this and to like meditate upon that, I think it would be encouraging for him. God is saying he's with me. God was with Joseph and other people in these books of the law. Okay, surely God is going to be with me and lead me to the promised land as he's promised. And for us too, just thinking about Jesus' last words in the Great Commission, some of his last words were, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So we too can be encouraged, just as God was with Joseph and just as God was with Joshua. Jesus is saying, I am with you also. So, you know, when talking about different things that might be going on in our lives and struggles, we can be encouraged too that God is with us and he can work all things out for good. Okay, so I've zoomed out a little bit, so I'm going to zoom back in and let's have a little look at more detail about the life of Joseph. So, as I said before, I won't be able to cover everything. So I've just given you some thoughts and tried to pull out some of the main themes. And also I'm just going to leave you with some questions and some things to ponder for yourselves. So Joseph was 17 when God gave him dreams that his 11 brothers and his parents were going to bow down to him. And throughout the story, it arose. Joseph was actually 39 when these dreams actually came to pass. So he was 30 when he got out of prison and got into Pharaoh's, came under the authority of Pharaoh, and the 7 years of famine started. And then it wasn't until 2 years into the famine that his brothers actually came to look for food. So that's 22 years that it took from the time of having those dreams to actually being fulfilled. So it's quite a long time. So in that time, I think there was an awful lot of maturing and training that took place for Joseph. In Psalm 105, verse 19, it says, "Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character." In the King James Bible, it's translated as, "Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him." So the word tried, the root meaning of that is to be tested, proved, and refined. And I don't think any of us really like to be tested, do we? But God does test us, doesn't he? And we do like things to be tested, because when things are tested, we know that they're safe, we know that they will last time, we know that it will basically do what it says. And this is what I've had to remind myself yesterday when I took my car for its MOT. We have the MOT to make sure the cars are good and roadworthy and they'll keep you safe. But unfortunately, mine did not pass. So then, yeah, quite a bit of money later and it has passed. So yes, the testing process can be costly, as we can see in Joseph's case. It cost him quite a number of years of being refined. God is definitely more interested in our character than our comfort, isn't he? And in that, we always need to remind ourselves that he does see the bigger picture. For Joseph, it was being a nation's leader. That is a lot of preparation. And for us too, one day we will reign with Christ. And are we being prepared for that now? And even in this life, what are we being trained to do? Are we in the middle of tests and refining? Because it can be quite easy to be quite short-sighted when we're in the middle of being tested and tried, to think of the bigger picture of, what is God doing? And it's a pattern that we see already in Genesis, that God is definitely not in a rush. For us, it feels like he can take an awful long time. For Abraham, it was a lot of waiting for that promise of his son Isaac. And we saw that Abraham did take things into his own hands. There's some lyrics from a recent song from Hillsong that I really like, and it's from a song called Seasons, and a few of the lines are, "For all I know of seasons is that you take your time. You could have saved us in a second, instead you sent a child." And I think that speaks volumes. You could have saved us in a second, instead you sent a child. And that just shows how God is relational. He can do things in an instant, but he's got such a bigger picture of what he actually wants to do. Instead of things taking an instant, he takes years for things to come to pass. It was interesting, as I was preparing for this, I watched a video on refining of gold. And it was interesting to see how the purest form of gold was actually, it looked like a bucket of sand. It had been gone through chemicals, and it had been gone through into looking like cornflakes, and now he got this stage before its final process, before it can be kind of cast into molds and be used. And here you got this stage of refining gold, and it looks like a bucket of sand. Like, it doesn't look anything special at all. And yeah, so this little bucket was about that high and that wide. It was worth £250,000, and it just looked like sand. And for Joseph too, and for us, when we're in that refining process, we can look a little bit of a mess. We can look a little bit like that sand. God has done so much in us, but we just feel a little bit like, oh, how long, Lord? How much testing? We just look a little bit frazzled, probably. For Joseph, before he went into Pharaoh's courts to interpret his dream, it says that he needed to go and have a shave, put new clothes on. You know, he wasn't looking the best in prison. And I was just challenged, actually, within our church family, even for ourselves, we're all being refined. We're all being tested. We have different seasons where we're having more tests than other seasons, but we're all being tested and refined in some way, shape, or form, and we won't actually look like Jesus until he comes again. So how do we expect our fellow brothers and sisters to look? Do we expect us to look like formed gold that has been refined and it's gone through all of the process and it's in that final form, ready to be sold? Or have we got that grace with each other to bear with each other when we're looking like sand, when we've been through that refiner's fire and we're having things worked out in us and it's not pretty, you know? How do we treat each other? Do we have grace with one another? Do we have grace with ourselves? You know, Joseph was 22 years in this process, and I'm sure God did more work afterwards, but it's not an overnight thing. So how are we with each other in this process? I thought that was a good challenge, actually. Joseph, he was only 17 when God gave him the dreams. And as you read the account of Joseph, it was no secret that he was Jacob's favorite and he made them the ornate robe. So it's quite natural to think when Joseph had these dreams, oh, my brothers are going to bow down to me. My parents will bow down to me too. That you might think, oh, he's quite proud and, you know, they're going to bow down to me because I'm so wonderful. And, you know, you can think, oh, yeah, he might think that because he was his father's favorite and why not? But whatever Joseph did think when he first got those thoughts, the amount of work that God did in him over those years would have been a huge amount. Little did Joseph know that when these dreams came to pass, that his brothers would have tried to kill him or wanted to kill him, and that his brothers would have actually sold him into slavery, and that he would have spent a number of years as a slave and then in prison. And actually, when his brothers came to him and this dream was fulfilled, they didn't bow down because he was wonderful and all-powerful. It's because they were actually in need of help. They were pretty much going to die. So that is very different to how he could have first interpreted his dream. And I was thinking, actually, it takes a lot of maturity to actually help somebody who actually wanted to kill you. You know, when Joseph got his dream, when it came to pass, he actually didn't want to lord and rule over them. He actually wanted to help them. He was really deeply moved by seeing his brothers again and deeply moved at how God had changed them. And I think actually for that to happen, for him to be so deeply moved to compassion to help his brothers, that needs us to allow God to deeply work in us, because there's so many emotions and things Joseph could have felt for his brothers of being rejected and being made a fool, being sold into slavery, that violation and all those emotions to actually come to a point of saying, actually, I want to help, I'm going to help you. I don't want to punish you, I don't want to lord and rule over you. So that's one of the questions for us. probably not to that extreme extent of having people wanting to kill us, but how do we cope with people who wanted to hurt us? How do we, are we able to help people who actually wanted to hurt us? You know, that's a big thing, actually. You know, will we allow God to work in our hearts to have mercy on them, to have compassion on them, even though they meant evil for us? So Joseph had to wait 22 years until the dreams that the Lord gave him to come to pass. That's a long time to wait. And as I said, you know, not long after this, after the dreams, things went completely different to what he thought God had said was going to happen. You could easily forgive Joseph for feeling confused or humiliated or feeling foolish. And I'm sure the devil would have, just like in the Garden of Eden, whispered to him, "Did God really say?" So just like his great-grandfather Abraham, God had said one thing and the opposite was happening. This is a great test of faith and also a lesson in discerning the seasons for words. Is it a now word or is it a word for later? And I just, you know, felt challenged of, have we had a dream or a word spoken over us, but then in reality the opposite has happened? If we don't see a word or a dream come to pass, are we quick to forget about it and just brush it under the carpet? And thinking about that, could some of our frustrations and things that are going on now, could they be training and testing for a plan or a purpose that God has got for us, but we've just dismissed that word that he told us about to begin with? Do you know what I mean? So whether or not Joseph remembered, God was training him to be a leader. So whilst Joseph was a slave, as I said, Potiphar's wife wrongly accused him of rape and he was sent to prison. And it was just interesting thinking about this whole temptation, because Joseph had more fear of God than of people. He told Potiphar's wife, he was saying, you know, "I can't do this because your husband, he has put me in charge. He doesn't concern himself with anything whilst I'm in charge. So how can I do such a wicked thing against, not Potiphar, but against God?" So actually, I think Joseph was serving God, not Potiphar. And talking about nations' leaders, you know, how good would it be to have a leader who serves God and not just people pleasing around them? You know, how are our prayers towards our nation's leaders? And also, whilst Joseph was in prison, the cupbearer and the baker, the cupbearer and the baker to Pharaoh were also thrown in prison. And whilst they were there, they both had dreams, which Joseph interpreted through the help of God. So Joseph saw other people's dreams come to fruition before his own. Fair enough, the bakers didn't have a very good outcome, if you've read the story. But still, he's seeing people's dreams come to fruition, and he's there, "Well, what about my dream?" So I think that's another good question for us of, are we able to help people fulfill their dreams or hold on to the word of God that they've received for themselves while we're still waiting for dreams or words to come to pass for ourselves? Or are we kind of on another side and thinking, "Well, I've given up on dreams, that word didn't come to pass." And if you see somebody come along with a dream or a word from God, and you just say, like the brothers of Joseph, "Here comes that dreamer," and think, "Oh, bless him, but it won't come to pass. It didn't happen for me." Probably won't happen for you. So it's a good challenge of, we can have words and things that we're holding on to, but how do we react when other people's dreams start to come to fruition before ours? As I was saying, the Lord was with Joseph and showed his faithfulness to him. And whilst he was in prison, the prisoner put him in charge over the other prisoners there. And like with Potiphar, he said, oh, I don't need to worry, you know, whatever's in Joseph's care is good. So I was thinking, if Joseph was in charge of the prison, could he have plotted to escape? You know, you're just thinking, like, the chief prisoner, the guard, is not concerned over what he's doing. Could he, like his ancestors, Abraham, take things into his own hands and be like, oh, I think I might be able to escape this? I think it could be entirely possible that he could have plotted an escape. But we know that God was with Joseph and that God was working in him and testing him. So could it be that Joseph was actually obedient to where God had allowed him to be and allowed God to work in him in these unpleasant circumstances? From that same song that I quoted earlier, another line is, if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. And that is maturity. God, if you're not done working, then I'm not done waiting. And for Joseph to be in that position of being able to work things out himself to possibly escape prison and to actually say, God, I'm going to stay here because you've got a plan. That is maturity. How good are we at waiting in difficult circumstances? Do we try and escape when we're being refined? And also, it definitely helps if we know God has got a plan and God has spoken a word, even if it's not a now word, but a word to come. Because otherwise, we can think, oh, these are just wasted years. I'm just wasting my time. But God has a plan and a purpose. So it takes great maturity, faith, and trust to hold on to God when everything around you is contradicting the word that God has given you. It takes great maturity to help people who have hurt you. It takes great maturity, faith, trust to remain in the testing, in that fire, when you could possibly escape. And also great maturity, faith, and trust to follow God and his timing and his ways, because they're definitely not our timing and our ways. And one thing I thought was interesting with Joseph was the thing that got him into trouble in the first place was his ability to interpret dreams. He interpreted his own dreams and he told his brothers. And then that just made his brothers hate them even more and got him sold into slavery. But the thing that got him into trouble, the interpretation of dreams, was actually the thing that saved a nation. And for Joseph, he could have easily thought, after being sold into slavery, well, look where that got me. I'm not going to dream again. I am not going to interpret any more dreams. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and get my head done. You know? So it's just interesting, the thing that actually caused a bit of trouble is the thing that saved a nation. So for us, are there things that we've tried before that we were sure they were God, from God. We were sure they were God's vision, but it just, for some reason, didn't work out. Could God possibly be breathing on those things again to say, actually, it didn't. You thought it didn't work out, but actually, I've been in this process of preparing you for something else that's going to happen. God can put you in places that you shouldn't be in the natural. Who would have thought Joseph would have ended up in Pharaoh's palace? He can connect you and give you favor. And he can also keep you safe. Where would Joseph be if he did try and escape from prison? Where would he have been in the middle of the famine? You know, would he have survived? Would the nation of Israel have survived? Would he have been around to interpret Pharaoh's dreams? Sometimes we can be so frustrated with where we're at, but God knows exactly where we are and where we need to be at a certain time. And sometimes it's just yielding to him to be like, your way, Lord. Also, Joseph could have escaped prison, I think, But I think the reason why he didn't escape prison was because he wasn't actually spiritually, mentally in prison. He knew God was in control. He knew God had got this situation. So going back to the Israelites escaping Egypt, they were no longer slaves, but I think they had a slave mentality, which kept them from going into the promised land. So for us, we can be physically free. We're not in prison. We're not slaves. And we're also, we're no longer slaves because Christ has set us free. But are we mentally imprisoned? Are there things, our mindsets, how we believe things about ourselves, are there things that actually we're being kept in a prison because of our mindsets and things? We're physically free, but are things holding us back? So yeah, I was just thinking of how to wait well. And I think in perspective, it really does change everything. If we know God is good, as we were singing this morning, God is good. And worship, singing worship, it definitely helps change our perspective. It helps us to focus on who God is, what he's done before. It helps us to take our eyes off of our own circumstances and focus on God who is faithful. And also just how God encouraged Joshua to be in his word. So for us, it helps when we're reading accounts like Joseph. God is faithful. God can work things out for good. And Elizabeth, I've taken a leaf out of your book and it's an acronym. I haven't got a pretty PowerPoint, but so I think in those why moments of life, the W could stand for just wait. Just slow down and stop. Instead of going down that self-pity of why and woe is me and what's happening, just wait. The H is for hear God. Hear God's voice. What is God saying about this situation? Because he'll definitely have something to say. And the Y is for yield, to yield to God's word and what he is saying. And I looked up that dictionary definition of the word yield. And it means to give way to arguments, demands, or pressure, or to surrender, submit, and relent. And I just thought, how many times do we work ourselves up fighting God when actually we just need to yield and just know that he is good and he's working things out for our good, even though it's a difficult situation we might be in. So I think Joseph was pretty proactive in the sense that he just got on with things. He took initiative, he worked hard. God was with him, yes. But I think actually he had that attitude of, I'm just going to work hard, I'm going to get on with things. Because I don't think he would have been put in charge of Potiphar's affairs or in charge of the prison if he was just laid back and just like, oh, I shouldn't be here, I don't want to work. So how are we in situations which we don't really want to be in, but God might be working in? Are we going to serve the Lord like he did for Potiphar? Or are we going to hold back? Because actually, if we get stuck in, God can maneuver us and put us in places that only he can put us. And yeah, just looking at the time as well, just thinking about the dreams coming to pass, it's just interesting how Joseph's dreams came to pass in the middle of a famine. And for us too, we can go going through difficult situations, but do we still have hope that actually God can move and come to pass, even in the middle of difficult situations? And Joseph, he did test his brothers when they came back. And I just thought, oh, how hard must that have been just to see his brothers again? And sometimes we can think, oh, I've dealt with hurt and rejection and things of the past. But it's not until you see those people who have hurt you that you kind of know, have I forgiven them? Have I worked through things? Because you just feel it, don't you? If people have hurt you, there's something inside that reaction. And there's quite a few times where Joseph had to remove himself to try and control his emotions. And just to see actually, you know, how moved he was when Judah, who was the one who actually came up with the idea of selling Joseph into slavery, Judah was the one who actually in the end begged Joseph to be a slave instead of Benjamin. So there's Joseph seeing how God had actually worked in his brothers and saw the one who sold him into slavery was now willing to give up his own life to save his brother. And that's just amazing, you know, do we trust God can work in those difficult relationships that actually sometimes we want to try and work out ourselves, but if we step back, God can work. So yeah, just thinking about restoring what was lost. It does take huge heart work. All those years of refining, working through the rejection, shame, disappointments, anger, humiliation, just so much heart work. But yeah, God works in all those things. And yeah, just as Joseph said to his brothers, you know, as he'd worked through all of this, Joseph was saying, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And thinking about his brothers, you know, they actually were doing it for their own good. And people around us, they might do things to take advantage of you or use you or just basically look after number one, to do things well for themselves. But actually, it didn't work out very well for their brothers. You know, they were haunted by this. Their father, Jacob, didn't love them anymore. In fact, he was just depressed without Joseph. So yeah, even in our own lives, you know, when people might leave us high and dry and go off for something better, God can work in that situation and bring out good where they might have meant for evil or meant just to look after themselves. So yeah, at the end, Jacob said, Joseph was saying on his deathbed, he was saying to his brothers, God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So even at the end of Joseph's life, he knew God had still got a plan. He knew God was going to be faithful. So again, going back to Joshua, he would have been greatly encouraged of, oh, God's got a plan. God can be faithful. And I was just thinking for us, how do we pass on to the next generations? What has God been doing in our own hearts? What is kind of our story of what has God been working on? Is it that God is faithful? Is it that God is our healer? Is it, you know, each one of us has a different story. So what is it that we can pass on to the next generation? Are we passing it on? What we've learned that God can do. So I think my time is up. So yeah. So lots of thoughts. And if you do feel like in a waiting period at the minute, and I've got some songs that I just find really helpful in those times, if you want some new kind of worship songs of I've got some songs for you as well. So, and yeah, I didn't even touch on dreams of, I think it's fascinating how scientists they know a little bit about dreams, but then they're still a little bit in the dark about why do we dream? And I just think that's quite fascinating, isn't it? So, yeah. And if you're interested in, if anybody's looking for baby names, I wouldn't go to Joseph's brother who called his firstborn This is like, who are you trying to think of a baby name? That would do. So lots in there, but hopefully it's, yeah, whetted your appetite to look and dig in more. So.
Well, thank you, Laura. Well done.